A 12-foot-high, 20-foot-long brick wall stood before two young boys in West Philadelphia. For Will and his brother Harry, this wasn't just a summer project. It was a year-long nightmare. Day after day, they mixed concrete and laid bricks, their small hands blistering, their backs aching. The wall seemed impossible, insurmountable. When they complained, their father delivered a lesson that would echo through decades. Stop thinking about the damn wall. There is no wall. There are only bricks. Your job is to lay this brick perfectly, then move to the next. This wasn't just construction advice. It became a philosophy for dismantling life's most daunting challenges. When bankruptcy threatened to destroy him, when Hollywood doors slammed shut, when his marriage crumbled, Will returned to this principle. Focus on the single brick in front of you. The wall doesn't matter. Your job is to lay this one brick perfectly, then move to the next. This methodical approach transformed a scared kid into Hollywood royalty, but the journey required confronting demons far more terrifying than any brick wall. Behind the megawatt smile lived a confession. I've always considered myself a coward. At 9, Will watched his father punch his mother so violently she collapsed and spat blood. Frozen in terror, unable to protect her, his identity crystallized around shame and failure. His 6-year-old brother tried to intervene, but Will became the entertainer, convinced that keeping everyone laughing meant keeping everyone safe. His father, Willard Carroll Smith Sr., was a walking contradiction, brilliant enough to study engineering with minimal education, yet volatile enough to terrorize his family. Will developed microscopic precision in reading emotional cues. The jingle of keys at the door told him everything about that evening's danger level. This hyper-awareness became his superpower as a performer, but trapped him in performing for love rather than receiving it. That traumatic night forged a silent promise. One day, I would be in charge, and this would never happen again. Every achievement became another brick in the wall between himself and that helpless 9-year-old boy. While most kids outgrow imaginary friends by age 7, Will's companion, Magiker, remained so vivid, his mother set out a separate dinner plate. His mind constructed detailed worlds where he wasn't the scared kid, but the hero in control. This delusional confidence led to spectacular failures and successes. Convinced he could dunk like Julius Irving, he knocked himself unconscious hitting the rim. Told that black leads couldn't sell movies internationally, he simply rejected the limitation. The summer everything changed came when 9-year-old Will saw a little girl enter a known predator's house. Magiker screamed at him to tell an adult. Paralyzed by the same fear that froze him when his father heard his mother, Will hid in his closet. When someone else intervened, Magiker was gone forever. Fantasy had failed him when reality demanded action, yet this pattern of escaping into imagination to avoid painful truths would define both his greatest triumphs and most devastating failures for decades to come. Everything shifted when Will met Jeffrey Allen Towns at a house party. Despite Jeff's nerdy appearance, big glasses, Band-Aid on his scratching finger, their performance together was pure magic. DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince were born. Their rise culminated at New York's 1986 Battle for World Supremacy. After defending champion DJ Cheese refused to shake Jeff's hand, Jeff unleashed his revolutionary Transformer Scratch, a technique so advanced it redefined DJing. The crowd erupted. Jess became the 1986 World Supreme DJ, and Will realized hip-hop offered possibilities beyond anything he'd imagined. But this created an impossible choice. His mother, among the first black women at Carnegie Mellon, saw college as the only armor against a brutal world. His father offered a compromise: 1 year to make it happen, or college became mandatory. Then came the miracle. While bagging ice at his father's business, Will heard "Girls Ain't Nothing But Trouble" on Power 99's Countdown. Pure, childlike joy flooded through him. He'd been right about himself all along. At 20, Will was a Grammy-winning, world-famous rapper and millionaire. 3 years later, he was hiding in a Marina Del Rey apartment, broke and terrified. Their follow-up album flopped. The group imploded. Then came the devastating blow. He owed taxes on roughly $3 million of income. Neither he nor Jeff had paid. They'd spent not just their earnings, but their manager's commissions too. The cars, motorcycles, and house, all gone. He was famous without fame, rich without money, worse than broke. His relationship with Melanie ended. Legal troubles mounted. Then a chilling warning. The FBI was investigating the junior black mafia members Will had been gambling with. They had photos of these guys entering his house. He needed to leave Philadelphia immediately. With no money for a plane ticket, Will called Bucky, a JBM lieutenant, who handed him $10,000 in a tasty cake wrapper. 3 days later, Bucky was shot dead. Depression consumed Will until his girlfriend Tanya pushed him to attend the Arsenio Hall show, where a chance meeting with Benny Medina, the real Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, led to an impromptu audition in Quincy Jones's living room. Within hours, he had a deal. The universe offered a second chance. With Fresh Prince of Bel-Air a hit, Will declared his audacious goal: "I want to be the biggest movie star in the world." He and his manager JL analyzed the formula with scientific precision, discovering the three F's of movie stardom. You have to fight, representing safety, be funny, representing joy, and be good at sex, representing love. What followed was arguably the greatest individual hot streak in Hollywood history, 8 consecutive number one box office openings from 2002 to 2008, earning billions globally. Will's secret weapon came from Arnold Schwarzenegger's advice: "You are not a movie star until every person in every country knows who you are." When he discovered Tom Cruise's incredible stamina, Will found his edge through music, staging free concerts at premieres that drew thousands. Yet this relentless pursuit came at a devastating cost. Working 70, 80 hours weekly, Will discovered the subtle sickness of success, anxiety worse than when he had nothing. Despite having everything, family, fame, fortune, opening weekends became pure hell. Jada suffered daily crying spells for 45 consecutive days. The boy who once built walls brick by brick had constructed an empire, but the foundation was crumbling beneath his feet. The collapse began when 9-year-old Willow, fresh off platinum success with Whip My Hair, quit music and shaved her head bald. Will finally recognized he'd repeated his father's mistake, prioritizing productivity over feelings. Desperate to reconnect, Will created After Earth as a father-son project. The film flopped spectacularly. At 15, Jaden asked about emancipation. Then Jada called her 40th birthday party, which Will had planned for 3 years, the most disgusting display of ego she'd ever seen. Healing began with 14 days of isolation. During ayahuasca ceremonies, a feminine presence revealed the beautiful cosmos surrounding him was actually himself. He didn't need validation. He was enough. When his father's health failed, Will gave him permission to die. His father asked, "Was my life useful?" This contrasted with his grandmother Gigi, who'd been so certain in her loving service, she was excited for heaven. Will understood. Happiness comes from giving, not receiving. For his 50th birthday, Will bungee jumped over the Grand Canyon. He'd made peace. The most important walls to dismantle were those around his own heart. True courage means choosing love despite the terror.